Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Guys, it worked. It worked really well. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You guys can catch Trevor hosting Sports Nation on ESPN Plus, kind enough to fill in for Chinne Agumake today. And, Trev, we're still basking in the glow right now. I feel like all of the fun that we've watched the Milwaukee Bucks have very publicly, like the purity of Giannis ordering 50 nuggets in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A this morning with his half Sprite, half lemonade, which I found out is a thing, Sprite Limonade.
Apparently already
bottled and sold, so someone beat us to market on that idea.
Totally fine. I will just go support because I'm just, again, naturally intrigued. But yeah, no, unbridled joy, unmitigated joy, like experienced by all that are involved with the Bucks championship.
Like, it's been pretty incredible to watch. Like, it's been genuine fun for us. Like, looking at this, as much as people, including Giannis, wanted to make this about homegrown versus super teams, or we want to talk about who's the best player in the world or not, there is part of me that just looks at this and goes, you know what? Like, both of us came up and played athletic. Both of us played college football here. Like, this is the dream. Stick with something. Start off as something that is not a perfect or a complete project at the very beginning. Stick with it. Work in silence. Build through all of this. Persevere when everyone tells you to leave. Cash in handsomely on what you have built yourself, but then also be able to turn it into team success there and not seem to lose yourself all the way. Like, that's a movie. You don't get that in real life all that often. And so I think part of us are allowed to stop and sit and enjoy this, too.
So beautifully put by you. As far as checking all of the boxes that you would want out of a Disney-esque movie, right, where that tells the story of a player that comes from a foreign country, gets here, is this spry, like, just super slim cat that just has to build himself up both physically and mentally and just learning the culture and everything like that, and it rewards out with even a legend tweeting him the potential goal to accomplish, the late legend tweeting him to go accomplish a goal that he eventually does, and it all just comes to fruition. Yeah, no, this was about as storybook as it gets, dog. And I think that's where the genuine appreciation needs to occur. And we should probably sit in it for a little bit. But we know what this sports radio thing is, dog. We know what it is.
And in fairness to us, Giannis started it.
He did.
Because Giannis was the one that brought up the whole super teams and doing it my way here. Like, these are his words, not mine.
Started playing basketball just to, you know, help my family. You know, try to get them out of the struggle. You know, the challenges we were facing when we were kids. But, man, I never thought, you know, I'm going to be 26 years old, you know, with my team, playing the NBA Finals, just playing. And, like, I was just happy just being a part, like, you know, not even winning, just being a part of this journey, you know. And but I never thought ever when I'll be 26, you know, I'll be sitting in this chair with this right here and this right here. Man, we've come a long way.
And so he could talk about doing it his way and doing this in a way and looking and not wanting to slight anybody and all these things, but he brought up the super team thing, so that wasn't us. That was a him thing. Now, Janangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We already, I think, liked Giannis, even if we had some basketball-related questions, because his game looks a little different than what we're used to, right?
Like,
I think that was a fair way for us to look at this. Now, did we go too far sometimes because of what he'd accomplished in some of the postseason shortcomings before? Yeah, of course. We're human. The person in this that becomes really interesting today is Mike Budenholzer. Coach Bud was the one that we really turned into a pincushion during this entire postseason, right? Because every step of the way, it was Coach Bud doesn't adjust. Coach Bud looks lost. Look at all this talent. Look at the Giannis that you've been handed here. Why aren't you doing more with this? And then a funny thing happened. He did. Much like Giannis had his best game of the year, maybe, in the most important game of the series, in Game 6 to win the NBA Finals, you could argue Mike Budenholzer had his best coaching job in this series of the playoffs, bar none.
Came at the right time, right? He made this run in this series specifically, rattling off four in a row based off of the really rudimentary concept of putting Jrue Holiday on Chris Paul, right? Like, that ended up being the adjustment that made the Phoenix Suns falter and vaulted the Bucks into championship lore. I think you're going to have to look at this, and it's going to be a confirmation bias thing, however you want to frame this thing, as far as, like, assessing Mike Budenholzer's run this postseason. Are you going to say that it was in spite of his lack of coaching decisions or terrible coaching decisions, or was it a complete attribution too? Because we can really get into the nuts and bolts, and before we even got to the finals, Mike, you and I had had the discussion. This might be the first coach that we fire after getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, because we thought, hey, man, they might not low-key make it past the Hawks. And if they don't, that might give you every reason to get him up out of the paint. But here we sit now, and he is no longer facing those questions and won't be for quite some time now that he's hoisted the Larry O'Brien trophy.
I think he deserves a lot of credit because in addition to just having Jrue Holiday switch there, they changed the way they defended that Suns pick and roll. They abandoned a lot of the things that had been hallmarks of the Mike Budenholzer defensive era in Milwaukee.
Yes.
To borrow a football analogy here, you and I, we thought this was tracking Mike Mularkey, Tennessee Titans head coach who won a playoff game and still got fired. That was the route this is going because we figured it was all happening in spite. And instead now, Mike Budenholzer might be the new Joe Flacco, right? Like, now I'll just go and bet on myself and then hit it at just the right time to go out here and make sure not only are you guys not going to be able to get rid of me, but you got to bring me my money.
Yes, you do. And for 50 years of proverbial suffering for a franchise, for you to be the first one to bring one back to the town, yeah, dog, that's like unflappable. Like, he's not going to be able to be moved off that pedestal until, frankly, he probably wants to be moved off of it.
And while I do not approve of the term, I think we have abused the idea of giving someone their flowers.
Yes.
Our friend Jen Latta, we love and appreciate. And so she, when she joined the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, said we probably need to do some of that for Coach Bud.
Yeah, probably all the flowers, certainly some respect, and certainly his due. Because the biggest criticism of Bud was what, guys? That he didn't make adjustments. He was one of those stubborn coaches who said, well, what I've been doing has always worked, so why would I deviate from that plan? But then you saw there were times where it didn't work, and his team was getting, you know, crushed. You know, it's crazy to think of some of the moments in this playoff run. Do we even talk about Giannis's knee going flamingo on him? Do we even talk about that right now? Like, it is crazy. But to get back to Bud, the adjustments that he made throughout this series and throughout the playoff run, you've got to give him credit for that, right? He put guys in positions to succeed. There have been times where guys weren't coming through, weren't playing their best offense, weren't hitting shots, right? Jrue Holiday comes to mind, but Jrue Holiday's defense was coming through. And I think that you look at all of those things and the way that he put guys in positions to succeed, even when they may not have been having their best game, and you have to give him credit for making those adjustments, for tweaking his character, right? The way that he was hardwired, that absolutely deserves all the credit and all the respect.
That was Jen Latta again from ESPN Milwaukee talking to Bart Scott and Shea Cornett, who were filling in for the guys on the morning show. And I think there is something to that, Trev, for a guy who had weathered so much criticism, and we never heard Bud crack under it, right? Like, you never heard the outburst of Bud pushing back. We hardly ever heard much of anything from Bud, to be honest. So despite the fact that he always looked like he had just trying to finish, hide that he was crying in the bathroom before that, what he did was admirable in the fact that he didn't have an ego about this situation, that it got to the most critical points and he said, okay, I'll listen, I'll change, I'll adjust, I'll give you guys what you want here. And there was never a lot of pushback from him in a way that is pretty endearing when you think about it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, despite looking like he just got the worst news from the mechanic of all time, like, it was always a level of measured sort of calculation as he moved through each and every one of these playoff rounds, because he knew the guys that he had. He knew that they would eventually come through. Sometimes it was a little bit alarming how much he just trusted how much he had there. But it pans out. It works out. And who are we to criticize from the back end? Like, it worked out for him. It worked out for that city. And now they're sitting there with a championship parade to play.
I'm not like other head coaches. I'm a cool head coach. And that's why Coach Bud is getting his flowers today from anyone who is willing to listen. Coming up next, though, as we look toward the future now for these two teams here, we know we kind of had to suspend disbelief because this was a very different season. As we look at these two teams and the 2022 Larry O'Brien Trophy, how good do we feel about either of them making it back?
Already?
That's next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Reminder for everybody. When you go to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and you're downloading, subscribing, rating, reviewing, Chinangle Jr., in that spot. Give us 5 stars. Don't forget to also tune into the Chiney podcast, hosted by our very own Chiney Agumake and fueled by Gatorade. We appreciate their continued support of women's sports journalists and athletes here at ESPN and everywhere. Wherever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales filling in for the aforementioned Chiney Agumake here today on the show. And Trev, we got a lot to get into with Giannis's place in the NBA hierarchy coming off the finals, because the rarefied air he's touching here and the performance in Game 6, like combining your best game with the biggest moment it possibly needs, is so rare that I think we're allowed to look at him vastly different than we did even a series ago. But vastly different is also where we stand potentially with college football. The Houston Chronicle report that Oklahoma and Texas have apparently reached out to the SEC about moving over and becoming members of that conference. And Trevor, I didn't know what to make of this at the beginning, because I wasn't sure the level of seriousness it was going to be treated with other people. Conference realignment is not a new conversation in college sports for anyone that's been around long enough, but the responses we're starting to see pour in kind of indicate that this is something that may need our attention here. Here was Rosh Bajoric, the Texas A&M athletic director, on the Paul Feinbaum show from SEC Media Day, talking about this really kind of being in line with what we've seen in a lot of other areas in college football right now.
The most transformative time in college athletics is upon us. This is another example that there's going to be an evolution. Again, we love our position with where we are in the SEC in the state of Texas. We want to maintain that. But what does the future hold? And none of us have that answer. We can't predict that. But it just proves the point that it's evolving and it's changing rapidly in college athletics.
Now, Oklahoma put out a statement basically saying we don't address every rumor that comes up. Oklahoma State put out a statement that said we have heard unconfirmed reports from OU and UT approaching the SEC about joining the conference. We're gathering information and we'll monitor closely. If true, we would be gravely disappointed. While we place a premium on history, loyalty, and trust, be assured we will aggressively defend and advance what's best for Oklahoma State and our strong athletic program, which continues to excel in the Big 12 and nationally. So this is getting a response from people in a way, to me, indicates way more severity than I would have indicated immediately.
Yeah, real hit dog a holler vibe.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's just like, I don't know that it's necessarily going to happen in the immediacy of what we assume to be soon, but like, there's steam there, right? Like, there's a little bit of momentum there, theoretically, that people are starting to even see that this is a realistic possibility, which is what immediately makes your gears turn. It's like, I'm excited at the idea, but I also found it funny that the aforementioned Texas A&M athletic director said that, no, we only wanted to be the only Texas team in the SEC. Y'all need to go on somewhere else. I found that hysterical.
Yeah, you know what? It's just we really can't ever get far away from that. Like, but this is what it is. It's always the identity thing, and that's the most fun part of this, potentially, is no matter who stays or goes, these kind of moments are opportunities to find out which program looks in the mirror and sees a version of themselves that is very different from the one that exists in reality and the one that all the rest of us sees. That is who I am excited to see here.
And I can see Texas having the real distorted one. That's the first name that comes to mind as far as intrinsic thought of who they are versus what the world sitting here pointing at you and telling you what you are.
Yes, I can say what the record and actual performance would indicate versus what you think of yourself.
Correct.
As burnt orange and what that means in the history of college football. Very different things right now. Chiney Agumake Jr. here on ESPN Radio, so we'll keep you posted on that as the information keeps coming up here. But we had the Suns and Bucks in the finals, and Trev, it would be dishonest to talk about this year's postseason run without acknowledging we had more games missed by all-star players due to injury than any postseason in NBA history by a pretty wide margin, I believe by 4 or 5 players in this. The previous record was 6, and I know we got to at least 10 all-stars who missed at least a game during the postseason. It was different. It was a short turnaround this offseason. So you look at these two teams, the Suns and the Bucks, both great stories, both what we think of the full team concept here. Either neither or both of them showing up this time next year for the championship game.
I'm apt to say neither, based off of everything that you even just mentioned, right? Like the fact that 10 all-stars miss the playoffs potentially is a playoff game or more is absolutely like that. That's history changing. That's history altering, in essence. And I understand that there we will get back to the average of about six or so.
Yep.
But that's not going to result in the shift, the seismic shift, to go back to the top that we were just talking about, to borrow one of those terms, that we saw this season where we had brand new faces on the scene to appreciate. I think we get a little bit more of our regular suspects in the playoffs making a run than last season. So I'm going to like look to the Brooklyn Nets to be like the full-fledged run that we saw a little taste of. Out of the West, heck, LeBron and AD are still there. They're not bad, right? Like, that's still a thing that they're going to have to go through. And, oh, by the way, Jamal Murray is sitting there waiting with the reigning MVP.
LeBron James, who kind of like 2019, going to get the compliment of a closer to full offseason, right?
Yep.
Like, this isn't NBA championship, shortest turnaround in league history to start the season that ends with you and the other star getting injured. This is, hey, you got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs and had enough time to sit at home, collect yourself, and then show up to the finals to support your buddy CP3. So that was how much processing got to go on. The interesting part is that Nets thing that kind of hangs over the balance of all of this. Tim Legler, our ESPN NBA analyst, was on Greeny earlier today and was asked, should they be the favorites heading into next season?
I think that trio is the greatest trio in terms of raw offensive talent this league has ever seen. I don't know how you have enough answers from a schematic standpoint or from a depth and personnel standpoint to deal with what those three guys bring to the table, because they could beat you in every platform offensively that there is, from deep, from mid-range, at the rim. They can make plays for other people. They can play fast. They can play slow. They can get to the line. Whatever it takes, all three of them can do it, and they're all on the same team. They have to be the favorite. But, listen, we just saw it. And, again, historically, those guys have had a hard time getting all the way to the finish line in one piece. So there's no guarantee that that's going to happen next year. The Bucks breaking through the confidence level they were going to have, particularly the way they handled big moments this year as opposed to the last two, is going to make them absolutely a team that's looking Brooklyn dead in the eye going into next season.
And, Trev, that's the interesting specter that hangs over this. If we're going to either neither or both these teams returning here, for me it's really a lot more about Milwaukee, because the West is just such a different animal. There's so much out there that you've got lurking that I think this is going to be difficult for the Suns, even if Chris Paul stays, which we know is something that's been tossed out into the ether now. And so, but if you're asking me Milwaukee or the field on the Eastern Conference side, I'm going to take the field. I mean, we'll see what happens with this Philadelphia team that looked like if Joel Embiid's knee had not been what it was towards the end of the season, which, like Legs pointed out there, is something that's been a factor. So that's something you got to bring into all this. I still look and say, man, health is going to be a hard thing to predict, but if they're healthy, I feel like Brooklyn could make next year just a whole lot of not fun.
Yeah, I will put my propaganda aside and resort back to my classic Atlanta cynicism and put away the idea of the Atlanta Hawks making another run. But I'll still ride with them. Hold on. But I agree. Brooklyn pretty much feels like a walk through that championship run.
Yeah, which is strange to say, because we've had these conversations around Giannis is the best player on the planet, and we all kind of default to what we saw in bursts from that Brooklyn team when they were all on the court together through those first couple of rounds. It's, all right, this thing starts to look pretty lethal. Even when you got two guys, like it took a Kyrie Irving rolled ankle on an official to really tip this thing off in a way, and Kevin Durant still almost put the team on his back, though. So it feels like that's lurking in the distance, but I think we can all just preserve and enjoy this moment for a little while longer. The Bucks are going to walk into next season just fine. But coming up next, we do have to do a wellness check out in Milwaukee. Do we think deer can actually get drunk? How is the Deer District looking around this time today? We will get some boots on the ground next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
There are a few things that we've seen this year, especially in a year where we did so much time without fans, that resonated as much as that shot last night outside of Fiserv Arena, the Deer District, 65,000 strong, getting ready to watch Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The atmosphere was electric. What was it like to be there? Well, Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Trevor Scales here filling in for Janae today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're heading out to the Goodyear Hotline now to talk to Bucks TV analyst, five-time NBA All-Star, and friend of the show, Marcus Johnson, who's joining us now. Marcus, we appreciate you giving us some time. And can you take us inside that? Because we were all watching giddy, looking at Deer District, looking at the arena lit up for this. What was it like walking into this moment for the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 6? Oh, and it appears we do not have sound right now, Marcus, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to figure out just how cool that thing is here. Because I think that's kind of a part of this experience that I want to make sure we remember at this point, right? Like, we're on the cusp right now of waiting to see what happens as, you know, some sort of, you know, some infection rates are going up in certain parts. Yeah. The Delta variant is becoming a thing that kind of worries you for the future of things like we saw there, because this felt not only normal, but special. Like, you do not get a lot of these. And this was Jurassic Park for the Raptors championship run in 2019. And now in a place that was 50 years deprived of all this, man, they showed up and showed out in a way that no doubt aided this team throughout the run.
Bro, it was Jurassic Park on 100, though, right? Like, it was the idea of that being 65,000 deep and only 5,000 people could actually watch the game. Like, that was a different level of excitement and a different level of investment entirely.
It was. And I enjoyed personally, selfishly, seeing like food trucks out in the middle of it here. They plan. There's one thing I know in the state of Wisconsin is if you've got a massive humanity, they're going to feed you.
Yes.
They're going to feed you well. That is one of my favorite parts about visiting Wisconsin, is I know I'm going to leave good and damn full in that situation. Now, once they got inside arena, certainly a different story. These guys, even for the players, I'm sure, what a welcome return to this after last year inside the bubble. We know that for Phoenix, this was not a road they traveled in the bubble last year towards the postseason, so they don't have that context. But I think all of that led to this moment last night, Trev, where you watch this game, and I wonder for everyone involved, and again, we're efforting to talk to Marcus Johnson, who I believe we've got back here on the Goodyear Hotline now, Bucks TV analyst and five-time NBA All-Star joining us now. Marcus, I'm glad we got you back here, because we're really dying to know what it was like to be inside that arena last night, because it looked electric from where we were sitting.
No, it was, man, and it was electric, and it looked like the players were in a state of shock, excuse the pun or whatever, the play on words, but that game started out both teams really tight and tense and missing, you know, couldn't hit the broad side of a barn. I mean, just off the side of the backboard, air balls, great shooters, just reduced to terrible shooters, and the only guy that was able to kind of break through and play with any semblance of confidence and effectiveness and efficiency was Giannis Antetokounmpo. But the fans were hyped. The anticipation, you know, I was remarking to my 11-year-old daughter, in a game like that, you don't know going into it if you're going to be headed on a flight to Phoenix the next day or in the midst of a championship parade in a couple of days. And fortunately, we're preparing for that championship parade. But everybody was on pins and needles until about 45 seconds left, when we were up, I think, 6 or 8 points or something. And Chris Middleton, I believe, was at the free throw line. And then I think everybody kind of exhaled at that point and realized that, yes, indeed, the championship trophy was coming to Milwaukee.
Yeah, Marcus, I got a chance to be on with Kendrick Perkins on Hoop Streams yesterday. He mentioned, like, the pressure dynamic is different for both sides of that equation, where it's either I'm headed back to the crib for an offseason, or this is the point of no return when it comes to a championship achievement. So, all that to say, a big part of that championship achievement was Giannis Antetokounmpo. His growth from not only throughout the season, but really just in this series. How we saw him come back from his knee being flamingoed to dropping 50 in the closeout game. What about that was just so impressive to you specifically?
Well, man, it was just the way that he went about his business and in the context of the last 3 years. So he's a two-time MVP the last couple of years before this one, and did not have the kind of playoff success that we all were expecting and hoping. And so there was a lot of slander. You know, you had James Harden, his comments. You had, you know, I don't know the veracity of it, but KD, don't compare me to Giannis, the Jay Williams stuff that came out. Even though it's maybe totally not true, or maybe some truth to it, a little truth to it, but it gets back to Giannis. I mean, so those are the kinds of things that were being said or he heard coming from his peers. The struggles at the free throw line, you know, well documented, the counting, the one, two, all that, And to be able to step up in that moment, the biggest game of his career, but just the biggest game in a long, long time, and to perform the way he did was just, you know, it was like I mentioned earlier to someone, it was like the gods were smiling down on him. He was, 17 for 19 from the free throw line? If he played tonight, he might go 6 for 25, you know, from the free throw line. You know, but it was just one of those moments where everything fell into place. He was knocking down his mid-range jump shot, his back to the basket, fade away. He's one of the few guys I've ever seen. I've been watching this game a long time, watching this player a long time, but one of the few guys I've ever seen that blocked Devin Booker's jump shot, just swatted that thing out of here, swatted it right back in his face. So that gives you an idea how elevated Giannis's level of focus and concentration and play on the floor as a result of that was.
Talking to Marcus Johnson with us, Bucks TV analyst and former five-time NBA All-Star on the Goodyear Hotline. And if Giannis mustered his best in the biggest moment, you could probably say the same about Mike Budenholzer, their coach, in this series. He was the subject of a lot of slander, of a lot of people having questions about his acumen. How much do you think this series changes the way we talk about Coach Bud going forward?
Well, I would hope that it does. I mean, listen, he is a guy that was kind of set his ways the first couple of years, especially at the defensive end. Offensively, we ran pretty much exclusively a five-out kind of a set where we just filled these quadrants and relied probably a little too much on three-point shooting. He made the adjustment, went into the dunker area more this year where you kind of didn't allow teams to set up that wall as effectively against Giannis. And then defensively, I mean, going into the All-Star break, we had played one possession of zone against Cleveland in December on an inbounds play. Since the All-Star break, we're probably up around 250, 300 possessions of zone defense. And that was Mike Budenholzer preparing this team to have more options, to have his coaching staff have more options. There's a lot more switching, picking up P.J. Tucker, which allowed us to play small ball kind of approaches defensively and given the situation. So I give Coach Bud a lot of credit. He's really good at the holistic approach of coaching and getting into guys' mindset and making sure the camaraderie and dinners and daily vitamins where you got to check in with an assistant coach for 30 minutes every single day to talk about life, to talk about your game, to do some on-court stuff, do some stuff in the office. And so he's really a guy who I thought has done a nice job but needed to stretch out in terms of being more flexible. And he did that this year, and then you see the result.
And we did, and that result is an NBA championship back in Milwaukee for the first time in a long time with Giannis as the Finals MVP. Marcus, we appreciate you bringing us along for the ride here. Enjoy the rest of the time. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of celebrating going on for a little bit here in Wisconsin.
Big time parade tomorrow, man. We're getting it done, man. We're getting it done, getting ready to turn out Wisconsin Avenue tomorrow.
Whew, my God. If that parade looks anything like the Deer District, that is going to be a show. Get the cameras out and get ready. That was Marcus Johnson, Bucks TV analyst, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And a reminder, coming up in a little bit here, our friends at Spain and Fitz, our neighbors to the north, going to be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern talking to Hall of Famer and Bucks legend Oscar Robertson on the show there. Someone who knows a thing or two about just how long the drought for this team has been playing basketball for this squad. So again, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Oscar Robertson going to join Sarah Spain and Jason Fitz over on Spain and Fitz. But coming up next, a drive-through order gone so impossibly incredibly right. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr., here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., our thanks to Trevor Scales, stopping by, giving us some time today. If you guys like Trevor around here, check him out, Sports Nation, on ESPN Plus, where you should be watching us anyway here.
Correct.
So many reasons.
Keep the party going. It's right here for you.
Stick around.
Yeah.
Just some is great, more is better. It's easy stuff. Here, we also want to thank Cassidy Hubbard, our ESPN NBA reporter, for stopping by. And Marcus Johnson, TV voice for the Milwaukee Bucks, five-time NBA All-Star, enjoying the sights and sounds from Milwaukee right now as they celebrate the championship today. If you missed any of that, check out the podcast, Janae and Golic Jr., wherever you get your podcast here. But we've still got very important Nugget-related business to get to on this show, and so why don't we do it and keep that same energy? We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
All right, keeping that same energy, Giannis Antetokounmpo, while living his best life, decided to take the post-game celebration party this morning to the Chick-fil-A drive-thru here, and that is when hilarity ensued. Let's watch Giannis take us through the order cementing a great finals performance. And I do appreciate he asked the young woman who was taking his order if it was she was okay if he turned the camera around on her to film for the 150,000 people on IG Live watching her.
It's just, that was very considerate. I appreciated the ever-loving mess out of that, but hey, dog, we got to get the menu tight before we get to the window. That's my only request from Giannis going forward. Like, he was kind of dicey on the menu. Just know what you're going into before you get there, big dog.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point and all that. I still disagree with the no ice version of all this here. I think Giannis can afford the ice. I think it's a textural wonder. But to each their own, I guess, and the way he's doing business.
Afford the ice.
Things are going pretty well for Giannis. I feel like he's doing okay. I saw the deal you signed. Keeping that same energy, how about this from the NFL? Last month, a Chicago resident named Scott Morrow was walking down the street when suddenly he felt a sharp pain and collapsed. He'd been shot in the back and was now in a fight for his life and rode in the ambulance to a nearby hospital. His first thought was Justin Fields. He's a lifelong Bears fan, and he thinks Justin Fields has what it takes to be the best quarterback he's ever seen, and he wanted to live for that. He goes, within a couple of minutes, I thought, well, I'm 41. Pretty much all of Chicago's gone our whole lives without even having the great prospects of a franchise quarterback. I can't die before seeing Justin Fields. Justin Fields now visited this fan who used his inspiration to survive this, and man, by any means necessary in that spot.
Yeah.
That's incredible. We thought the expectations were lofty already. Now it's just pushed even further forward.
Yeah, no, it's cool. We ain't got to worry about the EMTs that probably plugged you up, like, to make sure that you weren't going to leak out, like, out there. Like, he also mentioned, I don't plan to die before Fields is a Hall of Famer. Pal, you place an unfair expectations on your and his life.
This guy survived. Like, you can't turn that down. You can't say no at this point.
You're right.
I'm sorry, Justin. The rules are the rules here. That guy fought death. You just have to beat the Packers.
Hall of Famer bust.
It's what it is. It's where we're at. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Keeping that same energy, we've heaped praise on Giannis and a number of people here. Let's extend it the way of one of our friends, Malika Andrews. Last night became the youngest sports broadcaster to host the NBA Finals trophy ceremony and did it with gusto.
Bro.
Far too good, far too young. Malika, congrats on just being excellent at everything you
do. At every turn, Malika has proven to be just pristine in everything that is journalism, from a presentation standpoint to a news gathering standpoint to just mere presence the moment she sets foot on camera and the moment she sets foot on the court or whatever athletic competition space that she is there to do a job for. Just utmost composure, and I'll respect the ever-loving mess out of it. So salute to that young woman.
Malika and Giannis sharing the final stage, both at 26 years old, doing the things that they did.
Go ahead.
Remarkable.
Both of them.
Really cool for our friend Malika Andrews, who's got a lot of great stuff in front of her. This is just the beginning. Buy now on the stock if you haven't already. But we also wanted to wish farewell to one of our colleagues and teammates here. ESPN PR put out the release earlier that Maria Taylor and ESPN jointly announced that after much discussion, could not be reached on an extension, a contract extension. So her last assignment at ESPN was the NBA Finals telecast last night. Maria's been a great teammate here. She's an unbelievably hard worker, an incredible talent. So thanks and great luck to wherever she lands next. They're getting an absolute stud, and we know she's going to do awesome.
Closing the show out with a couple of bits of love to two black women that are excellent at what they do and excellent outside of what they do. And I'm here for all of that. And yes, Maria, all the best in your future endeavors. There is no doubt in my mind, in our mind, that she's about to crush whatever is laying ahead of her as far as an assignment goes.
It's in her DNA. That's all she knows. So I said, listen, proud state of Georgia there. That's great.
So
former
you're right.
Georgia Bulldog.
So you're
going
right.
to do great things right now. So congrats on both of those fronts here. A reminder, speaking of greats, you can stick around here on ESPN Radio following us. As always, Spain and Fitz going to take over for us here. And at 7:30 Eastern, they're going to be joined by Hall of Famer Oscar Robertson. Stick around for that coming up soon.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.